Where did you learn how to spell?
This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Where did you learn how to spell? We look at a lot of people's spelling and we wonder, where did they go to school? We have a lot of friends from Europe, from Switzerland, Germany, Italy, Russia, and most of their spelling comes from the British type of spelling. And of course, here in America, spelling is somewhat different from the spelling that the Europeans learn in British schools. And color, in the color, we seem to simplify the words a little bit over here. And in the simplification of the words, we lack a little bit of the color of the words and the imagination that is brought into it by the British use of the various spellings. What difference does it make where we learned how to spell? Well, if we look at a person's spelling, not judging that it's good or bad, but just look at the spelling, we'll have a pretty good idea of what sort of cultural background stands behind the person, not only in their spelling, but in their upbringing, in their attitudes, in their way of looking at life. We look at many things that the British laugh at, and here in America, we don't laugh at them. And while we in America laugh at a lot of things, the British find that gauche. They find it unacceptable to the highest degree. Now, is this good or is this bad? Where did we learn to spell? If we become a universal citizen, we are not limited by any spelling. We're not limited by anything. I know a lot of very, very brilliant people who do not spell very well at all and do not write very well at all, but they speak with great conviction and with great diction, with great variety and use of words. They have a wonderful vocabulary. And you think to yourself, my goodness, you look at their handwriting, you look at their spelling, and you think, they surely cannot be very intelligent. So, as I have learned, spelling does not indicate the brilliance of the person. Spelling only indicates the cultural background or the attitudes that the person had while they were going to school. Many students going to school are not inspired by their teachers. They are not uplifted by their teachers. They are not encouraged by their teachers to do wonderful things. And why is it? Well, some say because the teachers are inadequate teachers. And we were speaking about that earlier today. Hardly. It's not that the teachers are inadequate. They are inadequate. That is number one. But they're inadequate only from the point of view that they don't realize that getting into the child, getting them excited about learning, getting them excited about the world that they're in, the techniques that they have for understanding the world and living in that world, that is really important. The idea of writing, the idea of spelling, the idea of grammar and English and so forth should all come as an extra point when you want to express yourself. And when the teacher teaches exciting things to learn about dinosaurs and other wonderful things, when the teacher teaches something like a little bit of history, a little bit of mythology, then the student wants to express what they've learned. And the best way to express what they learn is through writing, through speaking, and through understanding words. And then the joy of understanding words is much greater than if you just go at it learning words by themselves. In mathematics classes that I had attended in my early years, they had problems. Now, if you had two horses and two cows and 14 people, and you had to divide the two horses and two cows up among the 14 people, what would you have? Well, one person would say, you have so many people who have no animals, no horses or cows. And then you say, well, let's be realistic about this. Here you have four animals, and you have 14 people. Now, if you take these 14 people and you divide them up into four mothers and fathers, okay, Then you have 4 off. Now you have 10 left to go into the 4. Now, how do you divide 10 into 4? Oh, it's the easiest thing in the world. You take one family has 4 children, one family has 5 children, and one family has 1 child, and another family has 1 child. And there you have 4 families, each with their own children, and each with a horse or a cow. And it's divided up equally. And now, how many people are involved in this? Now, you see, as you think these things through, and you think these mathematical problems through, the mind doesn't become boggled. It merely becomes preparatory for the Mensa type of thinking. You look at the Mensa type of things that are offered in the various publications, and they say, figure this out. A Mensa person would have no trouble with it. Why would a Mensa person have no trouble with it? Because he doesn't look at it as a problem per se. He looks at it as an idea. He looks at it as a concept. He looks at it as something to understand and something to know how to deal with it. And so he would take the 2 cows and the 2 horses, and he'd take the 14 people and easily divide them up, because he is the master. He is the creator. Now, the question does not say you must do certain things. It says, use your imagination. How would you take such unequals and put them together to have equals? And it's a very simple thing. When you're dealing with families, a family is always considered as one. And no matter how many people are in the family, you could have 4 families, and one family with 10 children, and the other families one family with 9 children, and the other another family with 1 child, and 2 families with no children. Very interesting, you know. And you could make that up in 1,000 different ways. Now, when teachers teach imagination, when they teach dreaming, when they teach going off into the mystical, into the magical, into the marvelous ways of looking at things, life gets exciting. Who crossed a, why did a chicken cross the road, you know? And what comes first, the hen or the egg? And you see a lot of these things, that your answer can be right. You can say the hen came first, because without the hen, the egg could not have been laid. Or you could say the egg came first, because without the egg, there couldn't have been a hen. And the hens and the roosters and the chickens, they all come from somewhere. And now, who says they're first and second? The conundrum, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does the tree make a noise? That's a good question, isn't it? Now, many answers are correct. It does not make a noise, because a noise is not a noise unless it's heard. Or it does make a noise, because the noise is heard by the forest, and it not necessarily by another by a human being. But you see, these are all conundrums. These are all things that are something that you must really think about in a deep way. And great scientists, great philosophers, great theologians, people who are imaginative and creative, they think in these ways unlimited. And there's no one to say that this answer is right or that answer is right. You go to a teacher and you say, here's a conundrum, now what answer is right? And the teacher would say, what's your answer? And you tell her, and you tell him, and he says or she says, oh, how about that? That's an answer I hadn't thought of before. Now, I've got another answer to add to my answers that are possible from that question. And you see, when a teacher teaches like that, you say, wow, I'm so intelligent. I thought of something the teacher hadn't thought of. And you see, that's exciting. Not that we need to do that, but it's exciting when the teacher has such humility that they can say that and allow the student to feel so brilliant and so wonderful, and allow their mind to just dance along life's way and come up with the magic of imagination and ideas that we never could have imagined possible. But you know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. If you're going to be an absolute philosopher, then you're going to think as an absolute philosopher, unlimited in any way at all, and life is so wonderful. Have a great day, you guys. I love you. I love you. I love you.